The following show is intended for a mature audience.
But it's really funny.
So, if you're underage,
go to bed.
Easily offended,
get over yourself.
Or just got a gigantic stick up
there. Hey,
Okay. You all might want to go do some needlepoint or something.
It's the Jethel Silverwing Show on online gaming radio.
It's time to kick your feet up, tune in and waste some time. It's time to waste 2 hours, Jethel Show tonight.
Hey there, Dwarf!
Hey, Jesus!
It's like a tragic tale, all the crazy things he makes us do.
I'm just glad I got my ale. To use it.
Well, it's time to get it started on the most sensational, entertaining,
mercantile, perk and whimsical. This is what we call Jethel Silverwing Show.
Oh, we're gonna get sued by the ghost of Jim Henson, I know it!
Hello and good evening, everyone. This is the Jethel Silverwing Show for Tuesday, May 27th, 2008. I am your host, Jethel Silverwing. With me, as always, is my love, my main squeeze, my right-hand girl, Elquin Jenna.
Hail and greetings.
How you doing today, Elquin?
Good.
Doing very good.
Good. Glad to hear it.
How are you doing?
I'm doing all right. Relaxing in the hot tub. Of the brand new Guild Hall.
Do, 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 do.
Guild Hall. Guild Hall in Gorrowind, yes.
It is
completed. It is completed. Designed by Jethel and Xanadi from EQ Tuesday, of course. And many, many, many books donated by Elquin Jenna.
You need more?
Oh, God, no. You had Xanadi twitching.
She still twitches.
She's like, books! So many books!
Just the mention of books, and she starts twitching.
Oh, man.
It's sort of humorous, I think.
But wait just a second here. Getting a towel here, hold on a second.
Yeah, they're saying you're a little too quiet, which is unusual.
Saying I'm a little too quiet. All right, well, let me turn up my mic a little bit.
Books, 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 books.
Books. So if you just want to say books, hoping that Xanadi is going to say something in chat, like, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
All right, I'm going to turn up the mic just a little bit here.
Yep, they're saying that's better.
There, is that better?
Oh my God, my ears are bleeding.
All right. Well, you know, I thought we would have to banter on for a while there, but... Our special guest has arrived home earlier than expected, so we're going to go ahead and add him to the conversation here.
Yeah, but did he even get to eat?
I have no idea. He can eat during the show. It's not like we actually plan on doing anything anyway. We never plan anything.
That's true.
So we're going to go ahead and invite him in. Call in progress. Hello, are you there?
Hello, Pizza Hut?
No, this isn't Pizza Hut.
It's Domino's.
No! Hey, Domino's. The official non-sponsor of the Jethel Silverwing Show. Okay, everyone. Our
Slash Pizza.
Slash Pizza. Our
now we get the joke.
Our special guest for this week, Grimwell. Hello, Grimwell. How are you?
Great. How are you doing?
I'm doing just fine.
Since I came in late and have all kinds of time to prep, and my mic volume's good and everything?
Oh, yeah. Everything's fine.
Sounds
darn
good.
It. I wanted all the neighborhood kids to bleed in.
You can always call them over the window.
No, you're, all your volume sounds good to me. So Grimmo, for those of you who don't know you, why don't you explain to everyone who you are and what is it that you do for Sony?
I am the Senior Community Relations Manager for Sony Online Entertainment for the San Diego studio. And what that means in English is, well, I don't know yet. We're making that up. Now, all the games that are produced in the San Diego studio are managed by different community reps and managers, and I manage that team to make sure everything's going well. Does that make any sense at all?
Kinda.
I've got a little...
Okay, so when people throw rocks, it hits you and then it bounces off you and hits Alan?
If I'm doing my job well, yes.
All right.
The real answer is, I'm here to please Mr. Crosby.
Gotcha.
That almost sounds kinky, but I'm not going to go there yet.
Not yet, by any means.
Did you run the adult theme thing?
Yes, I always run the adult, mature audience warning at the beginning of the show. So
we can talk about Grand Theft Auto.
You kidding me? We can talk about cyber sex if you want.
I'm totally going to derail your whole night. Sorry.
Hey, no problem. Hey, I had Coyote on last year. If he can't derail me, I don't think anybody can. and you're talking as if we have rails.
Yeah, we don't have rails.
This show is unscripted, unrehearsed. We have no agenda. We're just here rapping. We're here talking about EverQuest.
Did you get Alan to beatbox?
What's that?
I didn't get to listen last week when Alan was on. You're here rapping. Did you get him to beatbox?
No, I didn't. Sorry.
I have a computer error to fix. Give me 1 second. Let's hope I don't disconnect.
Sure, go right ahead.
Squish it.
He's winner.
Squishing the bug.
I'm on my laptop, and since moving to San Diego, I've rediscovered the joy and comforts of an apartment, so I locked myself in my master room to do this without child distractions, and my docking station almost tried to eject my laptop early.
Oh, that's not good.
You know, when I have child distractions, I found duct tape really works good.
Mm-hmm. I like beating them with an inch of their life, but, you know, if you don't duct tape their mouth shut first, people hear you.
True.
And then they start thinking bad things.
Yep.
Uncomfortable silence.
All right, now, you are the senior community manager. Are you only the community manager for EverQuest 2, or are there other games that you're involved in?
I'm involved in every game in San Diego, which currently means EverQuest, EverQuest 2, EverQuest Online Adventures on the PlayStation, PlanetSide, Vanguard, and the upcoming Free Realms release.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and basically I make sure that the people that are working with the community have the tools they need and are, you know, everything's going well for them and, you know, they're doing their job. That's kind of important.
Yeah.
And keep the team rolling.
I actually had no idea that you were involved in Vanguard.
Well, that's the goal is, you know, I know you guys know me through my work on EverQuest 2.
Mm-hmm.
Boy, that sounds really pretentious. That's not me. But when I took on this new position, I actually deal with all the games in San Diego, but really... If I'm doing my job right, you don't know who I am if you don't know me already.
Gotcha.
The face of the game is still that community manager, that producer, those people. I'm just making sure the community team's A, doing what they need to for the game, and B, have everything they need to get it done.
Mm.
You know, just like Alan's responsible for all community at Sony, I'm responsible for this little chunk.
Gotcha.
That you know, there's we have a lot of games, if you haven't noticed, so we have a few levels of rank in the department, which is good because we're one of the few community relations departments in the industry where there's actually a job track. You know, most people are at companies that have maybe one or two games and they're the community manager and that's their job. My employees can hope someday I crash my car on the way to work and they can have my job. And since Alan's with me, I can never hope that on him because we carpool and I don't really want him to die while I'm in the car.
Probably not.
Besides, messy. Stains would take forever to get out. Yeah.
Now, we do have a question from Wandering Free from the Kithacore server.
I don't listen to players anymore, so I don't want to hear it.
While you were listing the games you were involved with, he says he missed the last one. Is that an upcoming release? And I think he was talking about Free Realms.
Free Realms.
Yeah. Free Realms is an upcoming title that we've talked a little bit about as a company out there at large. And it is not like a new EverQuest. It is a fantasy-oriented game.
Aimed at kids. Go ahead. Aimed at kids. Yeah. 7 to 14, you said? Or
Like the teen and tween audience. Gotcha. It's, you know, if you look at the MMO industry as a whole in North America, you know, all of us started with the original big three, EverQuest, UO, and Asheron's Call. And that was 10 years ago, so many of us have bred. I have three kids, and this is the kind of game where we can play with our kids, or they can play without us. If you look at the whole Toontown Club, or Habbo Hotel, Clung Penguin, all these other games, it's more geared towards that, but it's very kid-friendly, family-safe.
And I understand no killing involved. It's mostly questing and doing tasks?
No killing amongst players involved at all that I've ever seen in it, but you can do some monster fighting.
Oh.
But it's not required. You know, when you're a Sony customer or you work for Sony, a lot of us think in terms of the EverQuest family and quests and levels and progression and stuff. Just like, you know, agencies being talked about where it's different. Free Realms is different in that it's not for the classic MMO player. It is for our kids. It is for family stuff. And you don't have a class that you're locked into and you can't do other things. So there is, like, you can be a ninja and go out and fight stuff, but then you can turn around and be a mailman and deliver mail in town.
Cool.
Is something, you know, that's an example. I mean, you know, you think of the ice cream man. It's not coming to the game, but that'd be same idea. You could be the ice cream man and deliver ice cream to everyone. You know,
right.
It's much more like that than it is a level-based game.
And that's also an idea being developed into the agency.
You are what you wear.
Right, you can be a healer. You can be ranged attack. You can be the guy on the front lines. Just depending on what your group needs.
Yeah,
I think that's a great idea.
It's
now, didn't EverQuest 1 have something like that? Where you get the mantle of something or other, and you can be like a minor healer if your group needed one and stuff like that, but not the perfect healer.
You're not allowed to ask me EverQuest trivia questions and expose my ignorance.
Uh-huh.
But yes, you're right.
Uh-huh.
It came out of one of the expansions.
I never experienced, but
yes, you could go put the mantle on of another class, and you would be able to do some of the things that they could do, but you weren't like a full-blown healer.
It's always better to have the full, if possible.
Hmm.
That's one of my not-so-dirty secrets. I never played EverQuest.
My God.
We'll forgive you.
Well, by the time I had a computer that could, isn't that the curve we're always on?
Mm.
I was Poe back then making babies. By the time I could play EverQuest, it was well established in the market, really out there. And I was, of course, listening to the wrong people. It was all about camping and all about all these really hardcore things. And I'd already gotten to the point at that time in my life where it was like, I don't have time to camp something for even 6 hours. So
well,
it sounds like,
do you remember what expansion they were on?
Right before Planes of Power, I think.
Mm-hmm.
If I remember correctly.
That sounds about right.
Yeah.
And
the game at
and
that
the
point
other part was, of it was by then I'd have to buy, what, 4 boxes?
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah,
they didn't have
back then they didn't have the platinum sets or anything like that.
You know, so that's $200 to start playing a game that I have to wait 6 hours to do something. Yeah, that's if you look at the recent EverQuest and EverQuest 2 expansions where it's an all-in-one box, that's kind of what that addresses is, you know, everybody wants new customers. We want new friends to game with, too. And when you got to go to your friend and say, well, come play this with me. It's a 10-year-old game. It's phenomenal. It's great. EverQuest is, you know, it's a still very viable game. It still gets new customers. It's very nice to not have to turn around and say, and buy these 14 boxes.
Yeah.
To get right.
Just
now
to
it's,
get caught up, yeah.
You know, buy one box and you're up to speed. I think it's brilliant, but it's common sense brilliant in that, you know, the minute you see it, you're like, well, why doesn't everybody do that?
Mm-hmm.
You know. Of course they're doing that because, you know, that you don't want to block someone off your product just because they don't want to buy 14 boxes or, you know, 5 boxes. with the next EQ2 expansion coming out. That's a silly way to limit how many people you can reach.
But at the same time, wouldn't you think, I mean, this is an idea that you can plug to whoever it is that you can plug to.
I'll tell Sven on the golf course.
Okay. Well, maybe give some kind of a discount for an upgrade to the next expansion instead of having to pay full price for it. I mean, let's face it. I mean, those people who were playing like EverQuest 1 from the beginning have spent hundreds and hundreds of dollars just on the game itself.
And they were in beta, just about a decade.
Yeah.
And there are people that have been there since beta that still play the game. I mean, mm-hmm. That's a very real look at UO. That's that, you know, they're on 10 years now.
Yeah.
Either that or they just about to hit it. You know, that's a very real situation where some of these games have someone who's played all that time, bought every expansion, paid their subs every month loyally, had fun with the game. I was actually talking on the way home with my carpool partner, Ninja, about that and how there's some universal topics that you get caught up talking with friends about, you know, like, well, I've been playing this game for 5 years. Shouldn't they give me a discount? Or I want to bring my whole family, but I don't want to pay for 5 boxes and 5 monthly subs. Is there a way to family plan it or guild plan it?
Right.
I think, you know, that in one way, that's something that the free-to-play games answer is, you know, if you're going to play a game for 10 years, what's more important on the business side, which everybody has to make business money?
Of course.
Is it selling 10 years worth of boxes or 10 years worth of subs? Mm. You know, one of those adds up to a much larger number than the other. And you know, free-to-play kind of gets around all of that, even if there's velvet ropes and other gates. Anyone that wants in is in. So I think you'll see the industry continue to find ways that answer it, even if it's indirect, because free-to-play is indirect. That wasn't why they did it in Asia, but it just worked. And then it's like, I want to bring my family. Okay, everybody make an account. Done.
And, of course, Pirates of the Caribbean, same thing. So, of course, you're limited on what you can do until you start paying for it. But
right.
As far as ships and the bigger ships and the better weapons. And I'm not sure how far you can level up, but you level at a 40% penalty. You don't get as much as notoriety.
Sounds like Rangers in EQ1.
Yeah, I know. That's probably why I liked it.
Back in the day, let me tell you.
And you can't complete the major quest, the story quest line, which is the driving factor of the whole game.
All right, so you've got me totally in my Sony chair because I don't make any business decisions for Sony to protect me from whatever who's out there is listening. Don't email Smed and say Craig said this because he doesn't care. But, you know, I think that's... when you look at those free-to-play offerings and where you stop and start asking for money, you know, and obviously Free Realms and Agency, you know, we're looking at these other models and deciding what we're going to do as a company. If the free part's not compelling and complete, you really haven't sold them anything, you know, and that's, my son is a huge Pirates of the Caribbean fan, loves the movies, loves all the stuff. He was Captain Jack Sparrow 2 years in a row for Halloween. Huh. And I actually got him into the first public beta they had for that game when it was still closed. And he's seen betas. Yeah, there were beta problems. But that has never stopped him. And Poco, as I like to call it, there's a joke in there.
Oh, you have to tell
it didn't stick.
That.
Well, it sounds funny. Poco. But
yeah, it's Poco.
It didn't stick. And then even when the game launched, I'm like, hey, buddy, look, now it's done. Everything's working. You know, they've got all their content. Check it out. You know, he's in EQ2, putting up groups and heading into Lava Storm. And yes, it is frightening, but my 11-year-old has out-leveled me.
Way to go.
Yeah, I rule. But, you know, here's a perfectly free-to-play game that you can go get a game card at one of the stores and get stuff or do their subs.
Right.
And this kid is a huge fan of the property and loves, you know, Jack Sparrow and all that stuff, and anytime he has a birthday or Christmas, I can get him a Pirates of the Caribbean toy, and it's done. He's happy. They put a game out that's free to play, and he doesn't even play the free part of it. You know, does that mean they did a bad thing? I have no idea because I didn't play with them. But it's like, what was missing that didn't draw their target audience? And then, you know, was that part of the
model? Your son is not the only one. Mine's right. What, a couple years older than yours. He's 15. We started playing it together on a free play, and
you know, I said, well, we got to the point where we were eyeballing the bigger ships. We had enough gold saved up. I was like, well, okay, we'll pay for it for a while and we'll see what happens. And shortly after that, he quit playing. He wasn't interested anymore. We got hold of a bigger ship and sailed it for a while and went, I'm going back to WoW.
Done.
And he's been in EQ2. He has an EQ2 account, but he hasn't played it lately.
The jelly beans are shaking. You've said the W word.
I will say the W word because I actually play WoW 2 once in a while. Right now,
down, jelly beans! Down! Down! The jelly beans of war.
If you don't play these other games, you will never experience what other games have to offer.
I did play World of Warcraft.
You just didn't like it because I out-leveled you.
Wait, you know, it's funny. That's one of my other dirty secrets is...
No.
You know, before I worked for Sony... I tried WoW, and I gave my account away because it's a great game. I could see the polish. I could see everything in it. I made a dwarven priest. I like dwarves. That's cool. And I'm playing, and I'm like, eh. So I gave it to a friend who needed an account, and that saved him $50, and it was good for them. Just recently, I bought it again. Now I'm in the industry. Maybe I want to know more about that game since, you know, there's no jelly bean shaker on the forums, and people who are my customers reference it. Wouldn't hurt to know more about it. This time I made a Tauren warrior, and still, I was like, eh.
Yeah.
I could see the neat things in the game. I love the fact that when you click on a target as a melee character, your guy starts running up to it and starts beating the crap out of it.
Yep.
I love that intervention. I love little things about it, but at the same time, I'm like, but I could be in... I'm in Antonia Bale and Nagafin in two different guilds, both of which go, why aren't you playing more? Because I'm playing somewhere else. And I'm like, I could be in the EQ2 right now and feel like I'm part of the team.
There you go.
You know, and I didn't see anything compelling there. Even as an industry person going, well, I should know more about this because who hasn't played WoW? You know, I mean, it's like back in the day with EverQuest. When I was one of the few people that didn't play the original EQ. It's like, you know, well, I never played EQ, but... You know, or I played Asheron's Call, I played a little of this, I played a little of that. They go, well, you never played EQ, you don't know anything. And it's like, no, it's just some people don't click with some things. Obviously, a lot of people click with WoW.
Well, did you at least play Daggerfall?
No.
You didn't play Daggerfall?
No. I had this blight called Get Married, Have Children, Sort Out All This Debt. Where there was no computer games in my... It's really weird. I mean, there was... Thank goodness Dungeons & Dragons was still free, so to speak, once you had the books. Because yeah. I'm a huge gaming nerd. Huge. Can't wait for 4th edition D&D to come out. But I had a point where I didn't have a console, and I had a 486 for far too long. Even though it was a DX2 66 megahertz, and it kicked butt when I bought it, it stayed not kicking butt for way too long, and there were a lot of games I never touched. So, no Daggerfall.
That's okay.
Isn't that the beginning of the Morrowind series?
Yeah. No. Actually, no? Arena.
Look at
what
that.
Was Arena was yeah. Was the first one. Daggerfall was the next one, and then we waited
we
7 years for Morrowind to come out, and we were so disappointed. Oh, it tanked so bad. It was
funny story about it. But hey, now I worked at Best Buy at the time, and we were selling plenty of expansions to Morrowind, so it wasn't doing that bad.
No, sales were up. But it sucked.
They achieved mission 1, but not mission 2.
Right.
Sell lots of boxes, please customers.
Hmm.
But, no, I... One of the guys that used to write with me on my blog, which, after I got hired into the media side of things where I was covering games, I kind of tanked the blog and got rid of stuff because I had a bunch of friends and we all wrote and said whatever we felt like anything. One of the guys was actually a content designer for Morrowind. And... He works on an MMO right now for another company somewhere in the U.S. And his insight into the process of why Morrowind was the game that it was really, really interesting. And it helped me when I bridged into Sony Online, where it's like, I'm a gamer, so, you know, and I play Dungeons & Dragons, and I'm a Dungeon Master, so I'm always, of course, thinking, well, if I had the chance, I'd do this. You know, you get me going on a Sony game, and I can tell you everything I do to it, even if I have no idea what I'm talking about. And so here I get into Sony, and it's like, because I saw this friend, and he was able to tell me, you know, hey, here's why, and here's what I thought, and what I wanted to do, and here's where, these people got involved. These games are not done by an individual. There's no way one person can drive it and have 100% control. There's no such thing as John Smedley's EverQuest. You know, John Smedley's CEO. He can make all kinds of control decisions about, okay, we need a game that does this and this and this and this, but then it goes to a producer and a live team and a lead designer, and they do their things. And it made that bridge for me easier when I became part of Sony. Was, you know, I'm one piece of a larger wheel, and The Elder Scrolls could have been, you know, better. Yeah. I bought it for my Xbox and never played it all the way through.
Now, to their credit, Oblivion came out, and it was fantastic from what I understand.
Yeah. But, you know what the funniest thing for me about Oblivion was? People complained that their assassins had to go jumping through flower fields to get poisons and build up the jump skill. And they're like, but I'm an assassin. Why would I be jumping in a flower field? And they were all upset. Like, oh my goodness, why is my assassin doing this non-assassin thing? It's so happy. That doesn't be. I'm like, what better cover could you have as an assassin than being that goober who's out in the flower patch jumping around all day?
Mm-hmm,
you know,
mm-hmm.
I was like, they got that right.
Yeah. Now, by the time Oblivion came out, I was very heavily into EverQuest 1, so I didn't bother getting it. And I had been so jaded by Morrowind. So Oblivion came out, and I was like, nah, not spending the $50 for it or whatever the heck it was. Because I already had, like, you know, expansion after expansion of EverQuest. I'm like, not leaving.
No, when you invest that much money and time into a game, you kind of look at the other ones going, well, they're kind of cool and stuff, but, man, I've spent too much time in this game. I don't really want to, you know, deviate from it. Right? And you got all your friends there. And
mm-hmm. Well, I've just recently started using the station launcher, and I've recently, I think I said last week too, I got in touch with some of my old friends because it looks at your old friends list.
Yep.
And I invited them over to EQ2. I'm like, hey, come on over. You guys got, you know, you guys got a home in my guild if you want to come on over, and we'll get you started. You know, we have craftsmen and stuff like that that'll give you all the armor you want and stuff like that. And they're like, you know what? We've been playing this game for 10 years.
You need a break.
And no. They're like, we've been playing this game for so long, and we have so much money invested into it, we're not going anywhere.
Wow. We felt like that when we beta tested EQ2, but we were ready for something new and different because we had hit a wall in EverQuest where it's just...
Well, considering that we were both playing Rangers and the
best
game...
Best class in the world.
And the game is not real friendly toward Rangers. Especially
people looking for a group. No, we already got too many Rangers in the group. So it's like...
Okay. You know, you log into a game and you just spend 6 hours trying to find something to do, and then by the time you find something to do, it's time to go to bed because you've got to work in a couple of hours.
I think that's the, you know... There's a segment of the audience that, you know, is like, games have gotten too easy, they're dumbing down my games, they're blah, 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 blah. And really... That's true if you're hardcore and you played this 10 years ago, and hey, I've been PvPing since 1990. I'm all about it. You know, give me full corpse looting, give me permadeath, I can take it. But the average consumer, the average person out there doesn't want to put up with that crap and doesn't have time for it.
Right.
And, you know, I think it's some of the most important things you can get right in an MMO aren't compelling new gameplay and top-tier graphics. It's... When you go to launch, do you have a good guild system? Do you have good group systems? Can people log on, find other people, and start doing something that's entertaining and redeeming for their character now?
Or perhaps more solo content. I mean,
yeah.
I think right now, EverQuest 2 has really good solo content.
It's the best game on the internet.
I mean, still think it has some good group, just single group content, too.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you get a good group together, and there's lots of stuff that you could do as a group, as long as you've got, but that rolls back to, you gotta have a tank and a healer.
Yep. Well, that's, gosh.
And that's where the new agency coming out has a little bit of an edge against everything else, because you can all come to say together and say, well, we got 5 of us here, we want to go do something, who's going to take what part?
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I like that. It's a lot like the old Dungeons & Dragons first day of a gaming campaign, but you get to do it every single time you group. It's how many people do we have here, and then let's play. And somebody's like, well, I'll be the scout, I'll be the fighter, I'll be the healer, you know.
Yeah.
Everybody gets to go, I want to do this tonight, and fill that role. And then that can change every time you make a new group, which is a strength over, you know, even paper D&D, where every time you do that, you have to make a new character.
And then then you'll have some kind of wise-ass like me going, I'll be Zim!
I'll be drunk!
I'll be blind, stinking drunk!
I was going to ask you some questions about your love of being in PvP. I mean,
the wicked coolest crafters on Nagafin, because that's all I've had time for lately. I whip out some serious tailor throwdown.
You guys even fight in the halls? In the tailoring halls?
No, I'm just saying, I've been trade skilling the entire time for the last few weeks because of travel and family and holidays.
You should see his piercing with that little needle. Just
yes.
Die, cloth! Die!
I unlocked a new PvP rank of awesomeness because of my tailoring skills.
You rock.
I mean, my total experience with PvP is from, you know, WoW. That's about as close as I could get, because at one time before they had the Battlegrounds out, there was a lot of the Horde coming over to the Alliance side and just trashing a town. And it was always interesting, because in WoW, when you die, you leave the skeleton form. So when you ride into town and there's nobody there except little skeleton bodies all over the place, you know the Horde has been there. Or you can jump in when they're there and start fighting and you know.
You know, I
was
going to
say, the radar goes off. Okay, there's a bunch of skeletons here. I better start watching out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the Horde shows up and you fight and, you know.
That is something I do miss.
Of course, they camp your body and...
That is something I miss. I kind of wish we could leave some kind of a trace behind, but without having to loot the corpse. You know, like we have now, but, you know, leave a little skeleton or something. Greasy spot on the floor.
But the WoW and the PvP in WoW on a normal PvE server was voluntary. It isn't a duel. I mean, you can do a duel with another person, but it was the Horde against the Alliance, and if you attacked the Horde, you were marked as a PvP for 10 or 15 minutes.
15, I think.
15. As long as you, I mean, if you attacked again, it kept, you know, pushing the time limit. But if you stopped, then you had like a 10-minute window or something.
Right.
Ask Eric. He's right beside you, you know.
Oh, he plays Battleground all the time. It's totally different now because that's all in an enclosed area. But it's
structured.
Structured, sort of, you know. So I guess where I'm going with the PvP is, you know, I've read your posts on your blog about the edge that you feel when you're playing PvP, that gotta look over your shoulder. How do you find that relaxing? I mean, you come home from a hard day of work, you get on, and you're on edge watching for people to sneak up and gank you when you're harvesting.
And they usually do.
And you like that.
Well, yeah, just to be clear, I am not the PvP king where I'm usually not the guy teabagging a corpse. I'm usually the one getting teabagged. But I don't have a lot of stress in my life, so the intensity's fun and doesn't... I don't come home from work and it's like, I need to kill people and feel good. It's this is fun. It's just genuine fun for me. But my first experience in an online game was this little game on the Vax Network at Western Michigan University. Go Broncos. Best beer around, apparently, because that's about all I got there. And I log onto this game called Monster, and all it was a cross of rooms, a hallway that was in a cross shape, a plus sign. And the people that admin the game would give you rooms that you could then go in and decorate, which means write text labels over all these fields, and make areas. And so people would make, you know, like there was a, what is it, Derry from It, Pennywise the Clown and that, and there was a Cyberpunk area and a Dungeons & Dragons area, and I made a market and all this crap. But the other side of the game was the minute you stepped off the square that was the center of that plus and into any other area that would lead you to the other rooms, full PvP. So the first time I log in, it, you know, this is way before graphical MMOs or online games, and you know, so you can imagine the UI and all these slash commands you got to learn. I'm confused. I don't know how to chat. Someone's like, "Hey, I know you," because it showed my student account, and they're like, "Hey, Craig," blah 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 blah, and I make one wrong move and head south, and this guy just steam plows me, and I'm dead. And the game sent you to the void, the online purgatory where you sat until the admins felt like cleaning it out, or 1 week passed and it automatically kicked you out. And the void was one room, and the only people in the void were dead people. So it was great for the community of the game, because you'd log on and be in the void with the five other dead people and be, "Hey, how you doing? How you doing? I'm in the void. Let's go drink a beer." You know. But that was my intro, and then there was, you know, I played Daikyu Muds, which everyone's like, "Oh, you know, EQ and WoW are Daikyu derivatives, and that's so bad. Daikyu still thrive," or Daikyus, whatever you want to call it. Because it's Dungeons and Dragons, it's that familiar core, and it's fun. And I was involved in one. I helped admin one where we made zones and stuff. And then I found LP Muds, where it's a different code set and a lot more flexibility. And I found Genocide, which was this entire world where it was King on the Mountain. Last Guy Standing wins. So it was like a text-based deathmatch before Doom even came out. And when the match would start, you'd run through the world, and every monster that saw you would just explode in a fit of fear, and you'd pick up its loot. So the first 3 seconds were get as much of the cool gear as you could get because you started naked, and then find and kill everybody else. So again, PvP. And then I played a game called Ivory Tower, where it was more like the EverQuest setup, where Freeport and Kinos, there was Law and Chaos, and in Law, nobody could kill each other, and in Chaos, it was free-for-all. And then you go through the Ivory Tower to cross, and Law people could come to Chaos and kill Chaos, and Chaos could go to Law and kill Law. And it created this whole, the basic epitome of what factions are supposed to be, that, you know, Horde and Alliance, Freeport, Kainos, that, you know, I want to fight these people, but it was PvP, PvP, PvP. And, like, I worked very hard, took over the Thieves Guild, and went on spring break. And before I went on spring break, I set the guild up where we would do contracts and kill other people for money and all these things, and taught them that we were very squishy. The thieves in this game were like, you know, if someone looked at them, they died. But we had this wicked cool backstab and the ability to totally hide. And so I taught them that if five of them hid in the same room and then all coordinated and jumped one person, that guy was dead. So, you know, I kind of got the guild, taught them how we could be a group and really be effective, which is the online game strength, is multiple people. And then I went on break. I came back and my guild was dismantled because the entire server had turned on them because they started grief killing. They'd hide somewhere, wait, and somebody would show up and they'd all gank them, and then they gank them, and then they gank them, and then, you know, and, well, it's funny. It's a PvP game. You got to be able to take it. If you can't take it, it's not for you, and that doesn't mean you're not cool, but that's just, you know, you're going to die. But then the wizards had an exploit that they hadn't told anyone about, so I log on, and they all teleport to me in the middle of my guild hall and kill me, which nobody else is supposed to get in. So that was funny. And it was like, so that was the next, you know, step for me, was another PvP game. And then we get to the real online games with graphics, and it's like, ooh, you know, sexy cool. And of course, I wasn't there for the launch of UO because of my computer, but we know how well that went with PvP. And EQ came out and, you know, had his own PvP thingy going. And then when I got a computer that could handle the modern games for the turn of the century, Asheron College just launched, so I played that and jumped on their PvP server, which is free for all. So again, I'm the one dying the most, but PvP has pretty much been my constant. So why do I enjoy it? Why doesn't it stress it out? Here's your 10-minute answer. It's just who I am. It's fun. You know, there is, I don't care how great the designer is in raid zones. I've seen what these guys can do at Sony. It's amazing. It's so much going into it, so much going on, that it's hard as a player to really perceive what's happening from their standpoint. And they do so much cool stuff that once you know it, it changes what you're looking at, even to watch a group raid.
Yeah. But it's sort of like being...
It's still predictable. You know, that's, you can still figure out how to handle the raid and still beat it, even if it's not the way it was designed to be beat. That becomes the way to do it. When I log on to Naggafen, even if I'm just out harvesting, I never know what's going to happen. I can't prep for it. I can't prepare for it and overthink it. There's no one way to answer that problem. It really depends on who's coming.
You know, okay, and, from and that standpoint, right. I can understand that then.
You know, I like that unexpected.
That you can't, because, you know, even learn a little bit about stuff when you become a guide, to the point where maybe sometimes the game is not as enjoyable because you've seen a little bit from the other side of the screen, you know?
Well, and these games, the people that are at the top end consume them voraciously. crazy, you know, fast. You put out a new zone and it's over.
Mm-hmm.
And that's cool, but there's only so much a team can put out at any given time. So you always see the high-end raiders going, gosh, I wish they put a new raid in. Gosh, I wish there was something new for me. PvPers have it. It's those other people. And you know, that speaks to community in a way. PvP has a really strong community because if you're in a PvP server and there isn't a good community, you're alone. You know, and why do people stick with PvE so long? A lot of times after they've gone through the content and seen everything they're going to see, it's because they enjoy the people they're with. And I know you guys have a good crowd on Kithagore where it's the people. That's the server pride comes because you like the people on your server.
Antonia Bale, not Kithagore.
But you're on Kithagore.org.
Yes, but...
Well, that's the name of the guild.
Legion of Kithagore. You know how many people actually think I'm on the Kithagore server? Actually, if I remember correctly, the Kithagore server wasn't available at launch, was it?
No, I don't think so.
Otherwise, I probably would have gone to it.
If they had made the game late. See, we got together with a bunch of other role players before the EQ2 came out, and everybody was prone to try to be together on the same server, and we were going for the first RP server that was going to be listed. Well, unfortunately, it was the first one on the list also.
So we have all these non-RPers.
You know, though, I play in AB, and with my kid, no less, and I... Even though it's the RP server and it's filled with people who don't RP, I've yet to see someone really spaz out and be mean to a role player.
Very few. They don't last long.
Yeah.
Let me just put a comment to Angelo on the test server. Talking about Jethel Goldenwing on the Kithagore server. He was actually named Jethel Silverwing until I talked to him. He was not trying to pretend to be me. He was actually a fan.
You inspired an imitator.
Yeah, emulating me. And I just, you know, politely asked. You know, I wasn't like, hey, you're trying to be me. You know, I was just like, hey, you realize I'm in the game, right?
That's pretty cool, though.
I guess he actually made the character during that time that Elquin and I went to World of Warcraft.
For a while.
So it was kind of emulation type of thing. And I'm like, well, I'm back, and people are getting a little confused. And he's like, yeah, I get a slash tell every once in a while. I'm like, might want to change your last name. And he's like, yeah, I'll do that now. I'm like, all right, cool. So I like refreshed his EQ2player.com account. And so, okay, you changed the name. All right, we're cool.
That was good.
Yeah, at one point in EQ2, there was... everything seemed to be rolling along fairly well. You could either do something solo or with a few people or a group, or you didn't really have to have a group to progress. But then it hit a wall about level, anything after level 25 to or 30, anything after 30.
Something like that.
You had to have a group. Everything was heroic encounter group type thing. Even to do writs for the guild, you had to have a group. We were also... they'd just gotten rid of... the guild status degradation. Is that the right word I'm looking for?
Oh,
degradation.
Degradation where if you didn't continue doing writs, you would actually start losing points.
That was really frustrating. We were struggling like crazy, and we just
we gave
didn't
up.
Want the struggle anymore. We wanted to play a fun game. So off we went to WoW for, I don't know, 6 months?
We were gone for a year. Almost a year to the day I gave up EQRangers.com because I left EverQuest.
Mm-hmm.
And to the time I came back and I wanted to take over EQRangers.com again, I tried starting it back up again. It was almost a year to the day.
And my, how the game's coming that year.
It has. I am very happy with how the game is right now.
Oh yeah, I'm ecstatic. It's so much better.
Everyone
on the
dev
out.
Team, my hat off to you. I think everyone's doing a fantastic job. I know Domino's listening in on the. She's on the test server, I believe.
Hi, Emily. I'm sorry.
Yep, she's on the test server right now. And she's in the chat channel, and everything that's been going on with the trade skills, love you to pieces. I love it, because I had given up trade skilling.
I want new trade skill quests, since she's listening. I want trade skill quests for PvP that when I complete it, somebody dies.
Wait a minute. I got it. Tinkering. A tinkering quest where you have to make a bomb.
Put it on someone.
I have a question from True Flight. Now, or at least a comment. Let's put it this way. It's a comment. Yeah, and I can understand where he's coming from, and I'm going to say right off the bat that, you know, just take this as a comment, nothing more, all right? What he would like to see, even if it's possible, is a zone somewhere in the game that is PvP. Well, you know, you have the arenas, but I know what he's getting to with this next part.
Battlegrounds forever.
No, basically, yes, but for Guild Wars.
I want Guild Wars.
Ah.
Because we have not been able to do Guild Wars since EverQuest 1, and it broke.
Well,
and that was kind of fun. Like, well, you talked about it last week, hon.
Yeah, I talked about it with Brenlow. I mean, when you entered a Guild War in EverQuest 1, it was announced server-wide. So-and-so has challenged, you know, so-and-so's guild has challenged this guild to a war. And the last time we did it, I think the Knights of the Holy Storm, which was my guild back then, and the Children of Darkness actually had the last guild war on the server. And it had been a while since anyone did a guild war, and I was in East Commonlands. This is before the Bazaar. Of course, you have no idea what I'm talking about, but that's all right.
I know tangentially.
Okay.
No first-hand experience.
All right. East Commonlands, incredibly populated zone before the Bazaar went up. We were in East Commonlands when we initiated the Guild War, and everyone went freaking nuts. It's like, oh my god, a freaking Guild War! And we had people surrounding us, waiting for us to start.
Crash.
And it's that goes back to sort of the PvP, like what WoW has. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're Horde and you initiate it against an alliance, those two people are PvPing. You could go and watch a group of people out in the middle of one of the zones, you know, just banging away on each other.
Yep.
And those were always kind of fun to go and watch.
Well, you know what almost made me play WoW this second time? Is the PvP. Someone had talked about the zone where you go in and you bomb the city, and once you blow up some stuff, you can go into the city, and it's this big fight and territory, and you take it over, and the quests flip to your side while you have it under control, and there's a flip point where there's a benefit even for the PvE player. You know, that's like, give me more! Yes!
Different parts in different zones in the new expansion, the Burning Crusade. Have different spots that can be taken over by the Alliance or the Horde.
Yeah.
That's sort of cool, too, if there's towers. But yeah, if the Horde has it, then there's a strike against the Alliance. You're minus something. If it's the other way around in your Alliance, then it's plus some stat for the duration of when they have it. Join in, or you can just sit back and watch. And it's kind of fun to watch PvP going on around you, but you don't have to participate.
I think
if
we ought to go
participate. Jump in.
I think we ought to go wipe out Freeport.
See, that would be fun. I would like to be able to go over in a group.
From what I've seen, you know, I hate to admit it because I am a Kenosian. I hate to admit it, but if it ever came down to Freeport versus Kenos, and we were able to actually, for a brief time, take over the city, Kenos would be dead meat. Because
I won't choose sides publicly.
The people on the Freeport side just seem to have more heart. They want it more.
I'm in a Freeport guild that's Freeport only, no exile, none of that, and is hell-bent not to exile. And that's part of the appeal for me, is they have that pride of, you know, if you want to be at the top end of the game, it's admittedly easier to exile and have all the classes and form a better raid party. But they're on Naggafin to fight, not to raid.
Right.
And, and they're going to do it, by golly, as Freeporters.
Now, here's something I'd like to see.
I've yet to see, and this is entirely doable in the game as it is now. No dev time, nothing from Emily or anybody else. I've yet to see a Freeport party form up a raid of PvPers and just go attack Kenos or vice versa. because the cities are safe. When I walk into the city, my guard goes down. Gorowin, Freeport, doesn't matter. I don't have to worry. I can run around with all the gold on my character I want because nobody's going to kill me. I would love to see a guild put up, you know, or three or four guilds put up a couple 24-man groups and just go steam plow the other city, because sure, they're going to be carnage flags, but if they're high level, it doesn't matter anyway. And there would be so much action that night. You'd probably crash zones. It'd be so fun, except for the people that are carrying their gold and getting whacked. But, you know,
that's lock the doors.
You know, PvP faces a lot of challenges, and on the dev side, you know, every time you put in something to try to give meaning to PvP and structure, you run that risk of player behavior where it's like nobody will fight unless it's ideal for them to gain. They don't want to lose because it'll hurt their character too much. But, you know, again, community, the player side of it, you don't need a compelling reason to form a raid group and just go slaughter everybody in the other city. That's just, honest to goodness, fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then of course you're like, oh, you're ganking me. Oh, stop it. But hopefully the other side, whichever side's on the receiving end that day, is compelled to suddenly talk across guilds and quickly put together a couple high-level raids to go after them. And then the low-level, you know, and mid-level, low-level, so you got this wave of people just beating the crap out of each other for no game designer mechanic reason. But at the end of the day, they're like, that was a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you look at all the PvP games, Shadowbane, they took advancement off the character and put it into these cities, and it wasn't until one alliance achieved lockdown that the server kind of got stale, because there was somebody to fight, and there was a compelling, I could get their city and make mine there.
And I believe Lineage
Dark
2
is a Camelot hit. Yeah, you know, yes.
Lineage is also the same way, a city versus city, isn't it?
Yeah. The Asian PvP games, almost all Asian MMOs for adults are PvP. It's much more popular over there, and they're much more old school hardcore about it. You got to grind a lot, and it sucks to die. But they also have some of the neatest PvP mechanics, because they have a lot of companies in the field trying to be the Korean and Chinese markets. So there's a lot of people trying to be a little different to be attractive, and they come up with some of the neatest stuff. And you know, Dark Ages of Camelot, you had the fort battles. Conan's got PvP that we're going to see now how well it works or doesn't, because it's just launched, but they have a twist on the fort battles. And Warhammer Online is supposed to have the PvP faction versus faction that Mythic EA learned from Dark Ages, but they've also got this stuff where I don't want a PvP, but I'm going to do this public quest that actually helps the guys that are out PvPing.
See,
you got me on the PvP tangent tonight. I'm crazy. But that's all fun, and it doesn't require a new zone. It doesn't require new content, new artwork, new quests, new items, all these things that take to craft well from a design team, and that's why I like PvP. Once you've peeked out in a PvE server, hopefully you've got friends, because friends are what makes the game fun. If you don't and you're all alone, that's when we can look at accounts and see someone that never grouped, never guilded, they hit, you know, level 80 and went, oh, okay, I'm done. I'll call me at the next expansion.
Well, who knows? Maybe they'll dabble with Guild Wars eventually somewhere down the line, because I can see the fun in that.
Corner your dev members at Fanfare.
Huh? Unfortunately, we can't go to Fanfare.
How
I wish I could.
So say corner the dev team there. They've actually got a...
Actually, I've been cornering the dev team.
Very exciting year coming up.
I've been cornering the dev team at every event you people have been inviting me to, and I think they're sick and tired of seeing me.
Well,
it's
you
like, oh, God, it's Jethel!
No.
You know, it's not like I'm making weird drinking noises and grossing them out.
Yeah, that's me. You do that so well, though.
I do! I need some ale!
You're begging for it.
Jesus!
I know.
Bring my ale!
Oh, come on, right up! Do I hear him?
Thank you very much.
He's gonna do it.
What is it about that noise that grosses you out?
It sounds real.
Well, thank you. I appreciate that.
Something uncomfortable about the sound of someone drowning under a fluid.
You know, one of the things I would really like to see is a third faction, or if not even a third faction, neutral. It's like, screw you, Kino, screw you, Freeport, I'm on my own.
And or you have Haven, you know.
Even Gorowin, if you look at the story behind it, they're not so bought in to either side of the Freeport-Kinos thing. You know, if Sarnak are evil, and the classes reflect it. But if you look at the story behind Gorowin, they haven't picked a side. They're really the quote-unquote neutral city.
There is a neutral city that we keep forgetting about, and it's the one that came with Sinking Sands, or, you know,
Mazul.
Deserts of Flame.
Mazul.
Yes, Mazul. okay? They are neutral.
Pretty.
But it's the desert.
Yeah, but they're neutral.
And speaking
you
of...
You don't even have to become a citizen to live there.
Mm-hmm.
You just have to have a good faction with one of the houses, and that's all you
everybody's
need.
Everybody's welcome.
And everybody's welcome. Yeah, see? So okay. There is actually one. I keep forgetting about it.
It's the least referenced city.
I just never... Honestly, that is one expansion I never got into.
That's because it came out and you weren't quite ready for it, and now that you're ready for it, we're...
Behind it.
A couple expansions beyond it now.
Yeah, that's more than likely.
And that's really hard to go back and do. When we had Desert of Flames came out, I was just peaking to the point where I could move into that area and start doing stuff.
That's
And I drug him in there and got him killed lots of times.
Yes, thank you very much.
That's one of the big challenges for the dev teams is on any game when they do an expansion, it's how do I do something new and give my top-end players some new fun without leaving everybody else behind completely? Because let's say you're one of those players that's in the middle of the game even now. You want to feel like if a new expansion comes out, there's something there for you.
Right.
You know, arguably that's common sense, but it's a challenge because, you know, EQ2, for the example, we have 80 levels, and each tier is fairly distinct. You can't cross tiers with ease unless you're mentoring down.
And, you know, that's something
Desert
I really...
Desert of Flames was based on the three zones from EverQuest 1, mm-hmm. which was North Row, Oasis, and South Row. It wasn't really an Arabian desert theme that was already there to start with.
Yep.
We had nomads running around in the desert. We had madmen. We had...
Sand giants.
Sand giants. You name it, it was out there. There was... What's the... the dervs. Dervish. Yeah. They were out there in droves. Dor must die. Anyway. There was this guy out there in a tent. His name was Dor. I always came through and killed him.
Okay.
Just because.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break here.
All right.
And for those of you listening in, I know Grimwell and Elkman Jenner are not going to be able to hear this unless they actually turn on onlinegamingradio.com on their Winamp or their media player, whatever you use. But we have a new song.
Yay.
New
already
song.
Heard. I'm good. Yeah, and yes, to those people that have given me whispers, we will talk about Festival of Unity later, okay?
Yes, we will be talking about the Festival of Unity that's coming up on the Antonia Vale server. And, we got a new song. Just a fair warning, this may not be for the kids. It involves mature content.
Cyber sex.
Hey, yeah. That's right. It's all about cyber sex mistelling. Which, of course, you know what? I'm going to go ahead
never
and do
happens.
That. Never happens.
No, the adult audience.
Let me see here. We got to put the adult... Now, I'm not going to put the adult warning up right now, but I am going to put up the Real Men of Norrath Cyber Sex Mistell before the song. Just to set the stage. There we go. All right, so we're going to take a little break here, and we'll be back in after some music and talk more with Grimwell.
Yeah.
Sir!
What do you want?
Sounds of swords clashing on shields! Mass hysteria! It's mayhem out there!
That can mean one of two things.
What's that, sir?
Either there's a horde of rampaging orcs attacking the camp, or Jethel has released a new song!
Mysterious Ranger Productions presents The Real Men of Norrath.
Real Men of Norrath.
Today we salute you, Mr. Accidentally Mistell Cybersex and Guild Chat.
Mr. Accidentally Mistell Cybersex and Guild Chat.
On this special day, we learned a lesson. And that lesson is, take it to a private channel. We didn't need to know that much about your private life.
Speaking of private.
You've been caught with your pants down, your hand in the cookie jar, tossing the gnome, shaving the Karen, slapping the orc, greasing the troll.
Can't you keep it to yourself?
And even though you've scarred your guildmates for life, gloat in the knowledge that a guy playing a video game for 40 hours a week can still get some tail.
Aw, man, she's a dude.
So hold your head up high. You've got charm, You've got charisma, and apparently you have a fetish for Ratanga smeared in peanut butter.
Mr. Accidentally Mistell Cybertext and Kill Chat.
The stories are not the ones that associate us. I got my pants round my ankles. The girlfriend's sleeping. Gotta keep it low. Clicking keyboard, does the talking. LCDs softly glow. Then I see, buddy, did you wanna broadcast this? I couldn't believe my eyes. Working, my hand typing, nice and slow. There's someone shouting at me. There's some things he didn't need to know. I see, buddy, did you want to broadcast this? I couldn't believe my eyes. I caught you in cyber sex, but this was not the first time.
Why are you up so late?
Just something that happened in game, that's all.
Do it again.
No, we were on this dragon.
Doing it again. Who is she?
Buddy, did you want to broadcast this? This was not the first time.
We are back from our music break. Tuesday, May 27, 2008, the Gentle Silverwing Show. I'm here with Elquin Jenna and Grimwell.
Yeehaw!
The one and only Grimwell.
Oh, by the way, I should take this moment to remind everyone that on the West Coast at least, no, even on the East Coast, it's still today, and today is Nobrin's birthday.
Oh, it's Nobrin's birthday! Wait, let me load up the birthday
trolls. I
forgot
to cause chaos.
He's getting the trolls out.
I have to get the birthday trolls. It is also, from what I understand, Sir Lucan's birthday. Hmm. The person who created Lucan de Lair's birthday is today. So, by proxy, it is also his birthday. I just got to find my birthday trolls. Where are my birthday trolls?
I don't know. Did you pay him from last time?
I was supposed to pay them? I thought they were just a band of wandering troll bards.
No. They're on the payroll.
Very frightening concept.
They took my job!
They took my job!
Yes, you can do it far better than me.
Alright, so we're going to play Happy Birthday, Nobrin, and Sir Lucan de Lair. right, so a very happy birthday to Nobrin and Sir Lucan Dallaire. Oh, I've just been handed a note by Sir by Cheez-It. It's from Sir Lucan, and he says he will destroy us all for revealing his birthday. Oh, and there's something at the bottom. He says, all right.
And just to think he started out as a spineless wimp.
Yes. Grimmel, have you ever heard that? Have you ever heard that one?
No.
He was mean.
Elquin went back in time.
You pushed me in that machine.
I did, and I loved every second of it. I can't even remember where I put that skit now.
I don't know where you put your skit with, so when you lose them.
Interview with an NPC. Lugan, there it is.
You're trying to remind me of that one, aren't you?
Yeah, we need to play this. Be back in a few minutes. We have to play this just so people realize just how Sir Lucan started as a lowly stable boy.
Just remember, it was Jethel's fault.
No, your fault. Yes,
no, you put me back there.
You put him on the path to evil.
No, I didn't.
All right, here we go. Hey, hon, can you come over here for a sec?
Sure. Here I am.
All right, stand right there. Got a surprise for you.
You really? Really? A surprise for me?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
And one, two, gotcha!
Bringing you the stories that no one cares about. Our crack team of investigators finds the truth. From Freeport to Calavan, from Kinos to Miriac, this is NORAD Tonight Investigates with Elquigina Silverwing back in time!
Well, the far back machine malfunctioned. Like, that's a surprise.
Who are you?
And I got sent really, really far back.
How'd you get
to
my
signals? Well, I'm sitting here with Lugan Dallaire, stable boy for Freeport Guard.
Hello there.
So, Lugan,
tell me,
do you have any plans for your future? Any goals, conquest, glory for Freeport?
Well, goodness, no. I'm just a lowly stable boy here. I'm happy staying in the stables with the horses and the sheep and the claim and the piles of manure.
Come on. Nothing enters your mind? Growing up to be a big and powerful.
Oh, well, my.
No thoughts of overthrowing the city officials and ruling with an iron fist?
What? Well, gracious me. That's treasonous talk there, Missy. My place here is making sure the horses are cleaned and shooed and ready for the guard to patrol the city and make a safe claim.
I gotta say, you are certainly not what I expected.
Well, how's that?
Well, I thought for sure I'd come down here to the stables and find a towering brute of a man. A real man.
I don't know who you're
who would take charge
to.
And do his will. I was mistaken. You're nothing but a lowly worm of a boy who isn't fit to shine my boots.
Hey, now you can't come down here and upset the horses like that. Well, I'll have you know that.
Stable boy, look. One of your horses left a present for you.
Well, this isn't stable.
Hey, don't worry. I'll take my leave now. Well, this is Elquigina Silverwing reporting live from old Freeport. Jeez, maybe Miss History Book's got it all wrong. It doesn't seem like the Lucan we know.
Come down here and talk to me like that. Just make me so angry. I'll show them. I'll show them all. Overthrow and rule with an iron fist, huh? I like the sound of that. And then, when I do rule this city, that little lady, she'll see that I mean business.
So as we can all see, it's all Elquigina's fault.
It's not my fault.
Ugh, can't believe you did that.
Oh, please.
You berated him. You berated him and hurt his ego, and now he's an egomaniacal maniac who just wants.
Who's a cross-dresser and has a thing for Coyote Sharptongue. Hmm?
How can you blame anyone?
Not really.
When you bring Coyote in.
He's such a manly man.
He's a man.
But doesn't this mean that conversely, if we can get Elkwin up in the tower, she could talk Lucan down and out of it now?
I don't think he wants to see me.
Many people want to see him. We could have a birthday parade.
I've been passed another note. It says, It says, and I quote, ha, 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 ha. Right. Okay, hon, you have some stuff to talk about, so go for it!
The Festival of Unity is going to be happening next week. It's on upon us a lot sooner than what I thought. Things start out on June 1st, that's a Sunday, at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. That would be noon Pacific.
Yes.
And that should probably be taking place out by the Claymore or...
in Kinos Hills.
Well, I think they're going to start out in Windstalker Village, but I'm just not sure yet.
That was the places they had it last year.
Yeah.
Grimmel, will you be attending?
You should.
I may try to sneak in. Depends on how fast I can remember how to take my name off the banned list so I can be me.
And there's going to be stuff happening every evening through the 7th. And let's see, things will be happening all day through the 7th up till 7 p.m. Eastern, and that's the closing ceremonies. You may want to be in game 5 p.m. Eastern to join in the parade. That will take place from one part of Antonica to the other. All the activities, all the role-playing, all the games and events all happen in Antonica. No place else. So, be there or be square, guys. There's going to be all sorts of stuff going on.
Be there.
If you want to learn more, go to Guide Portal and just
look
up...
Guild Portal.
What did I say? Guide?
Yeah, Guild Portal. Guild Portal. And search for Festival of Unity.
There you go. And you should be able to find the forum on it and join in. And you can look up under the times and you can start seeing when stuff's going to happen. There's going to be a spider eating contest again. there's the jousting tournament that happens at 4 p.m. Eastern on Sunday, which is always fun. There's going to be Iron Chefs. There's going to be at least a couple rounds of that. Lawn darts, which is fun. There's archery tournament. Find the Drunken Dwarf, which is put on by Xanadai. And
just to be sure that people realize it's not the Drunken Dwarf.
It is too.
You're
not
going
to take
Dufu
out?
You're not going to be able to because Jethel is going to be broadcasting that night.
On Thursday?
Oh, it's on Thursday? Okay, yeah. Well,
find
yeah.
The Drunken Dwarf? Yeah, it's going to be the Drunken Dwarf out there drunk somewhere in Antonica.
Yeah, I'm going to get pissed!
And there's scavenger hunts and all sorts of other stuff.
So. It's. I remember this from last year. It was a lot of fun. Those people really did a great job.
So, Festival of Unity all next week.
Well hey, worth creating
gonna,
a character
I'm
going to
be
see
in
it.
The auction. They've got an auction going Saturday. I'm going to take part of it in it.
They can auction me off. I brought in some really high numbers on the Illyrissi Day festival.
It's because I bought you.
Well, you're not allowed to bid this time. Elkwin is not allowed to bid on Jethel. So, ladies, you want to bid on Jethel, you come on down and I'll be there for auction. I'm not sure what I'm supposed to do if you win me. But, you know, as long as you're not a troll or a Sarnak.
I think a troll in disguise should come and bid on you.
No! No! No trolls!
Just for shits and giggles.
No!
How could you tell? You couldn't tell until their illusion dropped.
Just for... I'm going to get you.
But every year, the devs at Sony pitch in and they put stuff up in the world for us, and they're just absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, I learned a few things last year doing that.
What's that?
I tried to make an outdoor fire pit, and I was going through the, you know, objects and stuff trying to spawn things, and spawned an invisible flame. That did about 1,000 points of damage per second.
Oh, no.
Ow!
Whoops.
Yeah. And there was no getting rid of it without restarting the server, which I'm really not able to do. So then I had to surround it with a palisade, and no go here, bad. It was funny as all get out, really. Got some interesting questions from CS that week.
You're the one that did put up everything last year, all the tents and everything.
And right? Every time the server went down, it had to be done again.
Ooh.
And I learned that you have to tell CS that you're doing it. I learned that you should probably tell the producers you're doing it.
Did you get into trouble?
Willy nilly, all by yourself, with nobody knowing. I'm like, oh, really? Oh.
Grimmel,
don't ask him where the fireworks came from.
Grimmel got into trouble.
You think this year when you put up a stage it can be solid?
No, I'm not even going near. I'm not doing any of that action this year. That was such...
I went through
all this effort to make it look nice, and then you fall through it. I'm like, ah.
Oh. We have a comment. We have a comment from Delmon who says, and now we know why he works in community relations and not development.
Yes, but Delmon's a chump.
Oh!
And he can't say anything back. I got my revenge. And not talking. There we go.
I have some burning questions that all of EverQuest wants to know about you.
Uh-oh. Burning questions.
You ready?
Let's see.
Are really in-depth and hard questions, okay?
Nanjas.
Huh?
Nanjas.
Nanjas?
It's a speed racer joke, but it's the pirate or ninja question. Nanjas.
Darn, you're a mind reader, too. My God.
That was
okay.
One of our questions, actually.
Pirates, they get drunk and steal things.
I like that. What about the next one? I'm thinking
pie.
The next question. Good. And do you know what the next one is?
Only on Tuesdays, and my name is Nancy.
What?
Oh, wait, no.
Boxers and briefs only on Tuesday when your name is Nancy? Really? You wear both of them then?
I wear both. boxer briefs. So I do wear both.
See? He's not only the amazing Grimwell, he's also the amazing mind-reading Grimwell.
I'm well-dressed.
He's Grimwell, the Mind Taker. Sorry, a little Harvey Birdman attorney at law joke there. Harvey Birdman attorney at law.
So, what other questions do you have?
That was it.
Oh, okay.
Okay, I have questions.
Got out.
Brill's Finest or Elven Wine?
Gonna have to go with Brell's.
Hey, all right!
Let's see, what other question? If anyone in the in-game chat channel has a question for Grimwell, by all means, blurt it out. We'll get it to him. I'm not sure if you're in-game right now, Grimwell.
No. Much easier not to have the game client running while I'm doing this.
All right. So if anyone has any... Killed. So yeah, we're on our last half hour here, so if anyone has any questions for Grimwell, by all means... send it out in the channel, and
I have one other.
We'll ask him.
But it's not so much of a question. But you know, Amy said that she'll come hunt with me, and she never has. And Brendel says he's supposed to come hunt with me, and he never has. Would you be willing to come hunt with me?
I never do.
You never want to see my fury in a group, because you're on AB. I've got it right now. I'm level 42 on AB, so I don't think I can hunt with you.
She can always mentor down.
It's either that or I'll take you to places where you'll die.
No, I won't hunt with you. Will you power level me?
Leveling if I'm mentoring down to
yes,
you.
Yes, she will power level you for $200 a level.
Yeah. Jeez. Your character will be back on Thursday, and on Friday we'll strip it of all your gear and weapons.
And then steal your credit card number.
Is cleared. Yeah. And then we'll charge 50 boxes to you.
Okay, we do have a question here from... I'm going to say this is pronounced Oisin. Oisin, perhaps? It is in the Legion of Kithakor. I just don't know how to pronounce that. But,
smash an oyster with a Dyson?
Apparently.
Oisin?
It is an Oisin. And how similar is the Agency going to be to Planetside?
Well, I haven't played anything on Agency, and it's not one of the games that my team covers, so I can't give a really qualified answer, but I think... Based off of the videos you guys can see in public and everything, I don't really think there's a lot of similarities. I think they're kind of going for a totally different game. The only similarity being you have projectile weapons. Hmm. I'm excited about the Agency.
Okay, as a related topic, let me ask you this. How similar is The Matrix to City of Heroes?
I'm unqualified to answer that. I really haven't played City of Heroes.
The answer is they're almost exactly the same.
Wow. Did
I cannot say they're almost exactly the same. I will say the background mechanics, the layout, the cars going by. I mean, if I didn't know I was in The Matrix, I would swear I was in City of Heroes.
Wow. Well, if I had to hazard a guess as to why, it's still a relatively small industry, especially back when those two games were in development.
Mm-hmm.
So you might have seen some dev team cross-pollination. And
it's entirely possible, yeah.
You know, good ideas tend to follow good designers.
No, it's just I made a character in Matrix Online. When I came back from San Diego, the little gift bag they gave me had the Matrix in there. I'm like, well, I'm going to try this out. And I tried it out. I rolled up a character and went running around, and I went AFK for a minute. Not AFK, but I was starting to talk to someone through the Yahoo Instant Messenger, and I still had the sounds going in the background. I was like, God, I've heard this before. What is this? And then I'm like, this is exactly what City of Heroes sounds like. If you just stand on a street corner not doing anything. And then
the ambient sounds?
Yeah, and then I start running around and I'm like, God, this looks just like Paragon City.
Once you had it in your hand, it was stuck.
Yeah, I mean, I can't go into The Matrix now without going, this is City of Heroes. Why can't I fly and shoot fireballs now?
You're not Neo. You took the wrong pill. Now, I let my son play City of for a little while, but I never got out of the tutorial. I'm a picky prima donna.
I went through City of Heroes until level 14. After level 14, I don't know if they've changed it since, but after level 14, you needed a group where you could not go any further. There was no solo content past that.
One of my long-standing internet friends, who it's funny, has one of those SOE haters that won't believe anything nice about us, but he's my friend. He has had a years-long habit of playing City of Heroes off and on, getting a character into his 20s, and either quitting or re-rolling, and he just recently blogged about breaking that cap. So they've definitely done something in the last year to kind of alter the game some, because he would always kind of burn out on the play and be like, well, I love the game, I love playing, but the fun is making a new guy and playing with him, and then I get to a point where it's work and I quit. So I think they must have changed it to some degree.
Yeah, Krillic is
improved
saying,
on that.
Yeah, Krillic is saying in the in-game chat channel that they fixed City of Heroes a lot in the last few years.
Which is good.
But I'm not going to start my account back up just to play it. I've got too much going on with EverQuest 2 anyway. Which brings me to the subject of the Maiden's Fancy. No, I do not have any new issues released this week. I've been too busy. For those of you who are in queue right now, in line for your characters to be released in the Maiden's Fancy, I'll get to it as soon as I can, but it's very time-consuming, and God, I didn't think it was going to be this popular. I didn't think there were this many people that wanted to expose themselves naked to the world and their characters, but apparently there are, and I'm sorry, no Rotongas, no Sarnax. I can do an ogre, not that I really want to. I can do a troll, but God, I'm not going to. Nobody needs to see that.
Spooky.
Nobody needs to see a troll naked. I don't want to see them clothed.
I'm sorry. Every time I think of trolls, I think of EQ2 trolls and how bouncy their boobs were.
No, you mean EverQuest 1 trolls.
EverQuest 1, sorry.
EverQuest 1 trolls,
I mean,
after
their boobs could be dangerous weapons. They were that bouncy and swingy and big. And
yeah, in the Lost Dungeons of Norrath expansion. No, I'm sorry, not Lost Dungeons of Norrath, but Gut.
Yeah.
I can't remember what the actual name of the expansion was, but when you were able to go to, there were some pirates and stuff like that, troll pirates and whatnot, and they redid the troll models at that point, and just, oh my God! They'd come running at you and be like, no! No, back off! She doesn't need that sword!
And there's nothing scarier than troll booty coming at you like that. Oh. The Legacy of Hmm? I can't say that word.
Legacy, oh, Yakisha.
Yeah.
Yes, thank you. The Legacy of Yakisha, thank you. It was the expansion.
I'm going to be listening to Sony's podcast 36, which is out, because they have a lesson in how to pronounce server names properly. Yay!
You really need that. You were pronouncing Kariana for
that's
the longest time.
Somebody else said it that way, and that's how I learned. See, so
okay, you know. Grimwell, let me ask you this: Tenere, yes. Is it Tenere or Tenare?
I personally, and I do not have the official answer, say Tenere.
I think most people say Tenere. I know when I was living with someone who was a senior guide back in New Hampshire, they used to have this program that you can run in the background if you were in the guide program, and it would give audible alerts if the queue got too high. And I know the program anyway said Tenare for the Tenere server. But I don't know.
Yeah.
See, now that's what should come out someday. A verbal dictionary to EverQuest and EverQuest 2. So you can look up these different words, get the definition, and just like some of the other dictionaries out there, you can hit the little button and it'll tell you how it sounds.
WLG. Waiting long time? That doesn't even make any sense.
What? Oh. Fine.
Hmm? What? Oh, Eric, want to do something?
No.
Okay. I don't know what you're talking about then. You're going, what? Okay.
Never mind.
What the hell are you talking about? We've gone off track, as if we had tracks.
That's not unusual. But anyway, all this week you've been busy, and Zan's been busy doing the Guildhall. She wanted more books.
We have books. Matter of fact, I'm very tempted to dial up Xanadai right now and get her involved in this. I don't think she's on right now. She's not. But she was freaking. There she goes in the in-game chat. You know, she's twitching.
Books. Twitch.
She's twitching. She's tweaking out. Just books. Ah! We mentioned that we just redesigned the guild hall. We moved to Gorrowind because it's supposed to be a quote-unquote
neutral city.
And the, yes. And the houses here are freaking huge. So I'm like, yes, there's so much more room here. Let's just move here. So I created an alt, brought her up in Gorrowind. The alt's name is LOK Guildhall. Flagrant violation of the naming policy, but we talked.
He doesn't run around in public.
We're taking notes now.
No. I already spoke to Brenlow, and he said, nah, whatever.
Well, he's not like he's running around.
And we happened to mention to Elquin that, wow, we have this library now, and it's empty. We have nothing. I brought every book that I had from my house over here, and it's nothing. And so we came in one day, or Xanadai walks into the guild hall, and Elquin had been here the night before and, like, dropped off a copy of every book that she owned.
Every book that I could buy.
Right.
Books that you can go to the Mage Tower and buy a copy of for a copper, I got you one. That was about 72.
72
because I have close to the Library of Congress as far as EverQuest 2 books.
You
I don't
didn't
have them all.
Put them away.
Nobody said anything about putting them away.
You left them in the middle of the guild hall, and Zan and I came in to try to finish up the design work, and she's like, "Ah! Books! Books everywhere!"
Oh, I didn't know how she wanted them up there.
You
she's
filled
the
system. You filled the floor. And there are some books, unfortunately, we couldn't use because they're too big.
Yeah, I've got to come by and take out the trash. You can't use them because
they're
either too big for the teak.
Mm-hmm.
Or they're those damn stacked books.
No, we used all the stacked books.
I don't like them anymore. I have rows and rows and rows of stacked books.
Even Domino says, that's just cruel. Books are terrible when you're decorating.
Well, the thing is, you know,
Well, Domino, don't you think you should do something about that?
When EverQuest 2 first started out and we started collecting these books, which was like, oh, this is so cool, this is neat. People wanted stacks of books, which was okay. So some of the collection things started coming out with stacks of books. But I think somebody hit the lever to the wrong side, and it seems like all the collection books in that you get from Zach and Everfrost and some other are stacks. They're not single books, they're stacks. So Domino, I have an idea. I have no idea how much work this would be, or even if it's possible, or if you even want to go there. But why don't we change the stack books to something that could be crafted as a choice for a decoration, which is why people wanted them anyway, and have a book exchange, because I really would just like a single book instead of this terrible, twisty stack of books that you can't do anything with. Mm-hmm. The little stacks that are like four books, those are manageable, but you get these nine books in a stack, and it's just... Yeah. Anyway, that's my two cents.
In Domino's defense, she is wicked awesome with home design in EQ2.
I want to see Domino's house.
Last year I did that Operation Home Renovation contest. I helped with that and ended up being the fall guy that had to do most of the decorating. And oh my goodness, try decorating a house on every server on a schedule and still do your job. It was crazy.
Yeah.
But she helped me, and like the first time she did it, there were so many things I learned just watching her. And it was like, she's zing, 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 zing. She's like, it's so much nicer now that I have the dev client. And it was just like, whew. Okay. She's got mad skills.
Okay, well, joining us at this time to yell at El Quinjena is Xanadi from EQ Tuesday. Hi, Xan.
If I see one more frippin' book.
Oh, she was freaking out, man.
I built a two-story library full with stairs and railings.
Yeah, it's great.
And I come in to find the entire floor. I said, excuse me? What happened to my library? Did it puke on the floor? It looked like the entire library had thrown up all over onto the floor. There were books everywhere.
And you know the scary thing is?
They were in two or three nice little rows covering most of the
floor. When I screamed, I got, ha-ha.
And you know what the scary thing is? With how many books are in here now, the library is still only half full.
And you're going to hit your house limit, right?
No.
Oh, no, we bought one of those key things.
We've gone past the house limit.
Well, all the books that I brought over do not count towards a house item.
Well, that's good.
I know, because I went through every single one of my books to check, and I had to replace about 30 of them.
Trying to see if there is a...
Yep, so it's on AB and Gorowin.
Yeah, I don't think
the five rooms.
Yeah, the Gorowin houses don't exactly have addresses. What you want
to
do
is... It's the one closest to the trade skills.
Yes, go into the... Go into the residential area and go straight past the broker and the trade skill people. Just go straight back, and it's that house right there, and there's like a Sarnak hanging around the outside. I think it's the only
up on
one...
the platform?
Yeah, I think that it's the only one with a Sarnak hanging out on the platform. Yeah, the second supervisor, Turwin, I'm standing in front of him or her now. I think it's a her. And we're right there. You just right-click, visit, LOK Guildhall. And, it's ready. It's open for business. And we're actually going to be having a guild meeting this Saturday. Guild meeting this Saturday, people.
If Domino's still listening, I strongly suggest she goes in there right now and starts spawning books.
Sleep on the floor so Xan can figure out where she wants them. I'm sorry.
I don't think I can handle anymore.
I put them on the floor because I didn't actually know where you'd want them up there. You know, it was your decorating thing.
I don't think it mattered with that many books. I really could have gone any place.
Just stuff them up there.
Okay. Which is pretty much what I did, and I twitched every time I picked up a book and placed it.
Just books.
Although I have to say, my entire goal was to make a library that would make Clump jealous.
Yeah, but we're all, you know, you'd be repeating books. I mean, I gave everyone that I could get. Because a lot of the books I have are you can't I can't buy them off of the mage guy, because I know I have more than 72, trust me. And I'm terrible when I when I do my books, or I have them separated into all the lore, legend and lore books. I have them alphabetized by the creature that I got the book from. Ooh. And then I have all the histories of all the races, and I have them alphabetized by the race.
She's nuts.
And then I have all my other
You're very
books that,
lucky that they didn't end up as a liner for the hot tub.
Well, that's it. They were all
Oh, yes, and make sure to go in and take a look at the hot tub. It was my responsibility to build. I built the hot tub, and I did 90% of the work in the guild meeting hall in the basement, which basically composed of laying out the forest. So we have a forest in our basement.
And what I actually do with the books, besides putting them on the shelf, I do read them, and I go back to
she uses them,
as references for lore and stuff. Yes, I do. And yes, Delmon, I alphabetize because I want to be able to find what I have.
She's insane. I live with her, I know.
But the only problem that makes it hard alphabetizing is the stack books. I have to alphabetize them in a whole different area.
All right,
I can't put them with the rest.
I do have to make a few announcements here.
Announcement time.
Yeah, well, we got like 10 minutes left in the show. I got a couple of announcements to make here. Let's see, Santine is now a level 18 illusionist. Oisin dinged like a dozen times today. Congratulations. Not too hard when you're below level 13, but...
He's growing fast.
Mm-hmm. Let's see, what else we got here? Rolian. Rolian dinged to a 64 swashbuckler. Congratulations. Chrissy is now a 28 conjurer. Congratulations. Let's see here. I don't see
Trinity
anything
Trinity 71
else
today. Now.
What's that?
Trinity hit 71.
Trinity is 71. Oh, Guardians of the Phaedark. What level now?
30.
Guardians
Skyheart
of the
Skyheart hit 70.
Skyheart level 70 last night. And, I'm just going through the...
And besides, whoever said we had an actual time limit?
Time limit for what?
Anything.
I never said anything about a time limit. Oh, you mean the show?
Yeah.
My voice. Actually, my voice. I'm kind of losing it tonight.
You need some tea?
I think I'll be all right.
Oh, anything not to drink that, I know.
You see, it was my own damn fault. I'm driving home from work today. I cranked up, Dark Elf Wizard on my MP3 player in the car, cranked it up, and I was just singing it like I was live, just, which is something I'd really like to do, actually. And
your voices are yucky.
Yeah, and I'm pretty sure that's why my voice is kind of yucky tonight. I just was belting out a song in my car.
Who doesn't?
I try not to, and this is why.
Okay, I sing at the top of my lungs in the car.
I'm in a carpool, and that would get me pushed out.
Yeah, I can see Grimwell in the carpool singing my songs.
You could get a sing-along going.
Yeah, that's what we need.
Sing-along.
We need, yeah. Oh, that's what I want. Grimwell, I want you to get a bunch of your guys together from the EverQuest 2 team and get on YouTube or something like that and do a karaoke to one of my songs. I want to see you guys singing it.
You got better odds doing it in person when you get them all drunk.
There we go. So what we need to do is get Sony to pay for my fanfare trip, and I'll meet everyone in the karaoke bar. We'll be she's a dark elf wizard.
You spoiled him.
What's that?
Said, see what you did. You spoiled him.
Spoiled him.
Bah. I haven't asked for crap.
We've given him lots though.
Yes.
Crap.
Well, that too, yes.
That's funny now.
But, I have to say thank you very much to the Sony team, you know, for the invite to the agency event a couple weeks ago. That was a lot of fun. For flying me out to San Diego back in March. I had a fantastic time. Wish I could have gone on the whale watch with you guys, but I know exactly what would have happened. And that's exactly what happened to Mimoshe. Poor Mimoshe.
Feeding the fishies.
Poor Mimoshe. Yep. She fed the fishes a little bit. And...
Mimoshe.
Mimoshe. Sorry.
Yes.
Oh, man, that reminds me. Hun, you got to empty your camera. I promised Mimoshe, because we got talking about our homes and stuff like that.
Chi-chi, like mochi cheese. I'm going to get you.
Oh, God.
What'd you promise her?
I promised her back in San Diego, well, we got talking about our homes and stuff like that, and she missed Japan because of the mountains. Where mm-hmm. she's at now, there's really no mountains. And I was telling her, I am surrounded by the Cascade Mountains up here. And I got a fantastic view out of my back window, and I promised her pictures of the Cascade Mountains. And I've completely flaked it. And on our way home from Seattle the other day, Elquin happened to have her camera with her, and she took some fantastic pictures out the window.
Well, we'll see. They're not. I don't know if they came out fantastic, but the view is fantastic.
Oh, the view! It was a bright, clear day. It was like the first really good day we've had in a long time, and it was just a fantastic, awe-inspiring view. And we took pictures, and we're gonna get those posted up to the website and send a link to Mimoshe.
There you go.
See, we have a kind of spoiler here.
What's that?
Kind of spoiled here, the house where it sits. From mm-hmm. the, we can see the Cascades on the other side of the peninsula, out towards the west of us. Not the Cascades, but the Olympic Mountains. And then behind us, we can see part of the Cascades.
So we are surrounded by mountains here. It's a fantastic view. I love the view out here. Matter of fact, didn't you say, hon, that the view is what sold you on the house?
Yeah. When I went upstairs, I looked out the top bedroom windows, and I could see the Olympic Mountains, and then the Cascades behind it. It was like, yeah, that, and it was in DSL range of, you know. It was. I had to find a place that had internet, or I wasn't going to buy it.
Well, it's a very nice house. We like the price and the features. Does it get the internet?
No.
Next.
I don't care if I find the perfect... Yo, my perfect home, what I would like to get if I ever won the lottery or something like that, is one of those old murder mystery mansions with the hidden passageways and stuff like that. You could tell me that I could buy one in mint condition for $5, but if I can't get internet action for internet access, forget it. What the hell would I do without it?
Before I moved to San Diego, I lived so far out. All I could get for traditional sources was dial-up, my dial-up capped, even though it was offered at 56K, the lines for the phone system are so old, it capped out at like 1,300 baud, so mm-hmm. this was hell.
Yeah.
And I ended up going with fixed wireless, where I had a tower mounted in my yard, and it pointed at this guy, and it would bounce and bounce to the provider, and the guy's entire business was Wi-Fi for rednecks, because we're too spread out for a normal Wi-Fi network, so you had to use this fixed point one. And even then,
that does not sound cheap at all.
It really wasn't that bad. He was smart and kept it at the right price, but because he was a smaller operation, I had lightning fast speed to him, but his gateway to the internet was a little slow. So it was like half a DSL line for most people. Thankfully better than 1,300 baud. You know, it was just like, okay, this is not the 90s. I'm not going to kill myself. Okay, that was a little small phase where I didn't play MMOs for a few months while I sorted that out.
I'm sorry. Were you okay?
Well, I even looked at satellite, too, and that wasn't any good either.
Too much latency.
I have heard nothing but bad things about satellite internet.
Well, it's latency, secure sites get freaked out, games lose track of where you are.
Yeah.
It's just really, really rough. But the Seattle Mountains are very pretty.
Yes, they are.
And it's Mimoshe lives in the wrong part of San Diego to see mountains and foothills. I, even out my apartment, I'm surrounded by foothills. And where I'm waiting for the bank to say, yes, we want to sell you this house, I have a foothill a quarter mile away and then snow-covered mountains in the background. Not like Seattle, but a little bit of snow.
Right.
Up in Idlewild is where the mountain is.
At least you got to see... at least one nice day while you guys up here. The day you were leaving, it turned really nice.
No, that was the worst day.
Why?
Because it got muggy.
Oh, yeah. It was muggy
well,
that day.
That too.
And, and I've been out of, I'm grew up in Michigan and, you know, lived mostly in the Midwest where humidity is just life. But I was enjoying it in Seattle because it wasn't muggy and it was the gray days were like, it was, that was good for me because of living in Michigan on the lake, you get all kinds of clouds.
Mm-hmm. And the sun comes out.
Not quite as bad.
Oh, God.
Get all moist.
I lived in Tennessee for 2 years, and I'm telling you, it was like 110 and 98% humidity constantly. I'm a big guy. I mean, they should have a weight limit in that state. So you cannot
we're
be
sorry,
about...
you can't come to this state in the summer.
Exactly. Although I did get the last laugh. My last winter there, they got like a half inch of snow, and the entire city shut down. Because they didn't know how to handle it, and I'm outside, and you know, all these kids are out there, all bundled up. Oh, you better get bundled up! And I'm out there in shorts and a T-shirt, going laughing at them.
Domino's yelling at you, Grimwell.
Domino's Why? Yelling?
I'm not sure. I'm reading back.
She's better traveled than I am.
Hmm. Well, I don't know.
I used to, when I lived in Michigan, my mother-in-law's in L.A. County. Or Orange County, and we'd drive out to California for like Christmas. And 1 year on the way back, the highway in Arizona froze over and was a sheet of glass. And it was just awesome because I'm doing like 70 down the highway and great. And all the cars in front of us and behind us are just spinning out. It was like, ha ha ha! Learn to drive. Now I don't get any of it.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Oh, Talk didn't know. Talk was. She was answering Talk's question. Talk didn't know who you were.
Oh, I'm nobody.
How could they not know who Grimwell is?
That's pretty easy.
Visit the forums once in a while. Wait, I've been passed another note. And the note says, ha 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 ha. Does he do nothing but laugh maniacally?
I think so. No, you can also check
okay
out Grimwell's blog, too.
Yeah, as long as they know who Domino is.
Domino?
She's the one working on the game.
I have to make a Domino song. I really do.
I can send you one that's called Domino, but it's not her. It's so wrong. It's an old Kiss song. You could really work with it and twist it. But it is a bad song. It's not Dear Sweet Domino that we love. So she wouldn't be able to be insulted by the original tune at all.
All right. You know what? I think we're going to have to call it a night. My voice is kind of giving out on me here, and it's 9 o'clock here on the West Coast. Grimwell, do you want to give a shout-out to anyone or have any closing words, a statement?
Not guilty. No. Happy birthday again to Nobrin. it's a big day. We've got to get that out and embarrass him a little bit. And, hi to everybody. No, nothing really poignant to say.
All right. Elkman, anything you want to say in your own defense?
I didn't do it.
You did, though. You left all those books giving Xanadai a heart attack. Xanadai, do you have anything? Xanadai, anything you want to say?
No more books.
Perhaps,
sure?
Perhaps something derogatory to Delmon, who didn't have a show today?
Delmon's a
yes,
chump.
Speaking of which, I rush home after having a horrible day. I had to be at the hospital and everything. I come home expecting to hear Delmon's voice, and I hear nothing.
Not even the music?
Well, you had to have heard something. Because,
house music.
Because I know Leone actually put up a rerun of her show or something like that.
From what I understand, they took over the stream shortly after I got home. But it was breaking up so bad that I couldn't even listen in. Apparently it was some buffering issue it was having.
Hmm. All right.
But yes, I'm going to thoroughly beat Delmon.
Okay,
the last
so...
few times he's been away, I've tried.
Next week on EQ Tuesday, who will win Xanadai versus Delmon in a cage match to the death?
Well,
it's
me,
a
of
mixed
course.
Martial arts showcase.
You have to work out.
Drunken Dwarf, anything you want to say before we sign off? Let's get blind, stinking drunk with Domino.
You're so flippant. You last week it was brass, you know.
Oh, brass! I love the dwarf women. Ho ho! She was wearing fishnets. Did you see
that? I think you liked anything that's got two legs and a stein.
Well, just a stein will do it
for
me.
That's a loaded statement.
Oh!
Of course.
Now Delmon's sucking up.
Is he?
Suck yeah. harder, Delmon.
Without
what happened?
Delmon says, without Xanadai, who will want to listen to me?
Oh, come on. Yep, it's excuses. He was too chicken to go on by himself.
I go on
he
by
says,
myself.
Without Xan, who wants to listen to me?
Mm-hmm.
I should offer him some lip gloss.
Would you like a little preparation to eat for that, sir? Okay, folks, that's the Death of Silverwing show. Grimwell, thank you very much for coming on. I'm actually going to try to get Nobrin for next week so we can make fun of him.
Thank you for having me.
Elkman, thanks for coming on, and thanks for all those books for the Guild Hall.
Sure, anytime.
Xanadai, you've worked your ass off to get the Guild Hall looking great. You did a fantastic job. Thank you very much. I promise I won't let her bring any more books.
Tell her to come pick up the crap on the floor.
I will. I'll be coming over to take the trash out, don't worry.
The grand opening for the Legion of Kithakor Guild Halls will be Saturday night.
Saturday night, we don't have a specific time. Just show on up.
I'm thinking 8. I'll be in the Guild Hall at 8.
And don't forget Easter. Next week, the Festival of Unity.
Festival Unity!
Even if you're not on the AB server, make an alt, come on over, have a good time.
It's worth it to make an alt.
It is. It was a lot of fun last year. I had a great time. Of course, during my show, I was broadcasting the Fey Iron Chef, and we did have a winner just as I was going off the air, and I stayed on and covered the whole thing. We had a celebration. It was a great time, and we're going to do it again this year.
It's a big role-playing event, guys.
All right, folks, that's it for this week. Tune in next week when our guest might be Nobrin, but I don't know yet. It's kind of like the ads I put out for this week's show. Do we have a special guest? We don't know, because you hadn't gotten back to me yet. I do love doing things at the last second, though. It always makes for an exciting show. Will he show up? Will he won't? And like last week, Brenlo showed up literally 1 minute before showtime. I mean, my intro had just started.
He was sitting up there sweating bullets.
We get home at about 7:20 on the average night when things are going well. So that was why it was a challenge for him.
Wow.
But thank you very much for making the effort to show up here, Grimwell.
Woot.
You're a great guy. I like freaking you out. I remember the first thing you said to me when I met you in San Diego. Help me!
You caught that on tape. I just about died laughing.
Yeah, sometimes I can improv. That was my one time this decade.
Okay, folks, that's it for tonight. We'll see you next week. Thanks a lot. Now my famous ending shtick.
Hey, all right, that's it for this episode of the Jethel Silverwing Show. I'm your host, Jethel Silverwing.
And I'm the Drunken Dwarf.
And I'm Cheese and Nibblebuds.
Online Gaming Radio is a proud member of the ZAM Network. Our producer is Dee Pockets. Our technical advisor is Splank Link Death. Facts and Intelligence brought to us by The Grassy Knoll. Our spiritual advisor is Alcoholic. Sensitivity Seminars by Mandy Feldersnatch. And noted contributions by 3 Badgers, 2 Giant Rats, a 4-pound jar of jelly beans, a package of expired Twinkies, and a small rock.
Yay, rock!
Be sure to catch our show every Tuesday night at 4 p.m. Eastern, 7 p.m. Pacific, and some ungodly hour in the UK. So, for me, Jethel Silverwing, the Drunken Dwarf, Cheez-It, and my love Elk Magenta, keep your arrows in the air and your feet on the ground.
You don't
rock and roll to everyone. God gave rock and roll to you. Gave rock and roll to me. Say rock and roll for everyone. Say rock and roll.